Well, I want to take this time and just say good morning. And Merry Christmas. I'd like you to just look at your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I hope and pray that everybody's Christmas plans are going well and without a hitch. Also, I just want to let everybody know that I think Walmart is still open today. You know, for any of those last-minute gifts for people that you may have forgotten or you just couldn't find that perfect gift for, I think Walmart is still open today. Amen. Praise God for Walmart. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sure that Walmart has something that'll work for you. Since you can't, you know, if you don't have time to get to Sierra Vista or to Tucson today, I'm sure Walmart has something for you. Or for me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure that you're not going to be the only one there, too, if you go, so don't worry about it. Right? Don't be too hard on yourself. You know, during this time of year, especially this day, I can always look back and think about there's always that last-minute item that we want to get, right? How many has been there before? Right? There's always that last-minute thing, that last ticket item, you know. Whether it's a gift or you're going to go to a family gathering and you need some kind of food thing that you forgot and you just didn't have time to make and you got to go get what's left in the deli section or what's left in the holiday section. I'm sure we've all been there. Right. That's why God made Walmart. Praise God. You know, or that last-minute gift wrapping or paper or whatever it is, there's always something that we are in need of. Amen? And so before we get started, I would like to close our eyes, bow our head, and pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that we can gather here together in this building, in this wonderful country that you've given us, and that we can stand together and be together and pray as one body of Christ and pray to you, our God, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah. Father, we thank you for this day, and let this word reign true this morning in each of our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' mighty name we say, amen. Well, God is good. Especially today, right? And all the time, God is good, especially in these times. But God is good all the time. Today, we're going to revisit a familiar story, and I'm sure we all have heard this story once or twice or three or four or 50 or 60 or 70. But it's a familiar story of how we... I'm going to speak for myself, how we or me always seem to be in need of something. Amen? I'm not talking spiritually at the moment. I'm just saying there's always need for something. Oh, yeah. Amen? You know, there's always something that we're thinking about, oh, I need this, or oh, I think I need that, or all this, or that, and the other thing, right? And when we're in need of something, there is that, how many of us know, there is that perfect gift, yeah. Right? That when we're in need of something, there is that perfect gift that we're looking for. How many of us know that, amen? Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on. That one perfect item that'll just do the trick, amen? And so, as we look at this Christmas season, as we look at this birth of Christ and this Messiah coming and the familiar story that we all know so well, I think we need to just look at a different perspective and maybe think about it as what a gift it was. Amen? What a perfect gift. Amen? What a perfect gift it was. And how many of us over the last, How many of us have been shopping for this Christmas tonight and tomorrow for the past year? Okay, one, okay. What about 11 months? 10 months? 12 months? What's after 10? 9? 9 months? 8 months? 7? 8? Okay. Today, oh, hey, Walmart's still open, I'm telling you. It's the best place to go, right? Past 6 months? Okay. Some of us, 6 months, right? 2 months? How about since Thanksgiving? You know, Black Friday and all that jazz, right? Right? Last week? Last night? Today? Tomorrow morning? You see, we've been on this search. I know my wife and I have been, you know, wherever we go, we're always looking for that deal and looking behind different things and finding something that's on sale or on clearance that, you know, that would be great for our kids or great for whoever, right? And it's ongoing. It's never ending because we think about gifts and we think about what God gave to us, and there really isn't necessarily from me to you or from you to me a perfect gift that I could give you or that you can give me that God hasn't already given us. And so in our search for the past year, 6 months, whatever it was, we spend all this time looking for that one perfect gift that would just be just right. I know that for me, that perfect gift that would fit Nina just right. You know, that would make her eyes brighten up and make her smile and to see her, to see that glow. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? Or that special gift for your kids and that just makes them so happy that they just jump and It's that perfect gift that we search for, or that friend, or that person that we know that really doesn't have a whole lot, and we want to get them something that they really need. We spend all this time searching for that one perfect gift, and how many of us have been in this spot where you just can't seem to find it? Yeah? It's okay. I've been there. I'm there right now. You just can't seem to find that perfect gift. And we can't find that one special item. We can't find that one thing that would just make those eyes brighten up, that smile just make our hearts melt. You know, I'm sure we've all been in that spot, like I said, but only then, you know, you're sitting at Christmas time with them and you're giving them something and you know it's not, you settled for this gift, right? It's a nice gift. It's from your heart. It's a nice gift. But it's not that one perfect gift that you know that, yeah, I hit a home run. We've all been there. If you haven't, then you're perfect. I want to be like you. But then, you know, to go shopping, you know, sometime in January or February, and then you find it. How many of us have been there before? It was at that one store you didn't go to. It was in that one spot that you didn't look. I may have been there before. Amen. In that one place that you didn't want to go, or that you thought, it's not going to be there. We had that happen this past year for a gift for Sophia. I can't say it too loud. She'll probably hear me. But there's this thing that she really, really wanted. She even asked Santa for it. And we found it in a place that we never would have thought it would be. For the amount of money, it would never would have thought it would be. And so it's that one thing. We wanted to get it last year, but we couldn't find it until 2 weeks later, go figure, we find it someplace for dirt cheap. So that's what she's going to get this year. But there's those times where that perfect gift just, we just can't get there, and then later on, we stumble upon it in a place that we might not have thought it would be. This is a familiar story to many of us, and to me at least, that I was thinking about and pondering on what to talk about today, because I could just take a route and just read the story again like we did before, and like I'm sure you've heard before, and all the stories on TV and all the things on TV like you've heard before. And that would be nice because that's the Word of God. But you know, there's a story out there that there's a story of a virgin who gave birth to a boy who is all human, who is all God. A boy who was prophesied about, and there were many people awaiting the arrival of such a boy, such a Messiah, such a man, such a Savior. Amen? And I want to read something from the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read a few different verses here, and this is the prophecy of such a boy, of such a man, of such a Messiah. It says this. I'm going to start in verse number 1. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along, or I think it's on the screen. Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. Verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors divide the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. Verse 5, the boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. And verse 6 says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, his government. Notice it says, his government, his rule, his reign. And its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Amen. That is a powerful prophecy that at this time we need to recognize. For unto us a child is born, a wonderful counselor, a Messiah, a Savior. And that's the story that we know. That's the story that we read. We can turn in our Bibles then to Luke, chapter 2, and read again a familiar story about the same boy, about the same Messiah, about the same wonderful counselor, and about the same wonderful Jesus. How many of us know Jesus is King? Amen. Say to the person next to you, Jesus is my Lord. Say, Jesus is my Messiah. Say, Jesus is my King. See, in chapter 2, in the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2, it says this, at the time of the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken by Quirinius. Was governor of Syria, all returned to their own ancestral town and registered for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant with Jesus, our Messiah, our wonderful counselor, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Prince of Peace. As we read on, it says then, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth. In some versions, it says swaddling cloths. And laid him in a manger because there was no lodging or no room for them in the inn. In verse 8, it says, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Verse 13 says, suddenly an angel was joined by a vast of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Verse 15, when the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that had happened, which the Lord had told us about. Verse 16, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. Verse 20, shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them, and it was just as the prophet had prophesied. Amen. Amen. Now I read these stories because that's our familiar story of the Christmas story. The prophecies that came. The story about a baby in a manger. In a place where there was livestock. Wrapped in swaddling cloths. You know, I read somewhere that shepherds who were tending the flock of the lambs that had to be sacrificed would also cover those lambs in swaddling cloths so that there would be no blemish, no stain, no dirt. How ironic that our Prince of Peace, our lamb, was wrapped in a similar swaddling cloths. Today we revisit this and we remember this, but who is Jesus? And we answer, who is Jesus? The Messiah. That baby boy, that Messiah, that Prince of Peace, that King of Kings, the Lord of Lords that we all call
Jesus.
Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And sometimes we have to ask, why did he come? Why did he come? Have we forgotten why he came? Have we gotten so far past what had happened that we've actually forgotten why he came? Why he had to come? This child, this who would become their deliverer is the Messiah. Now, the territories that Isaiah talked about in Zebulun and Naphtali represented in history, if you go back to some of the maps, represents the northern kingdom, which then represents the territories where Jesus grew up. If you look at history in certain places, this prophecy about the area of Zebulun and Naphtali is the area where Jesus grew up. And what Isaiah prophesied is that the area would be changed by the coming of the Messiah. And boy, don't we know now that that area was changed and more. Amen? These areas were where he grew up, where he ministered. And in John, in the book of John, if you want to turn to John, I'm not going to read from there yet, but if you turn to the book of John, John calls Jesus the light. Well, if we read back into the prophecy of what we just read in Isaiah chapter 9, the prophecy said that there would be a great light. And how many of us know that there are some 100-odd prophecies made about Jesus, yes, about the Messiah? And Jesus fulfilled all of them. And I think I heard somebody, I think it was Max Lucado, talk about the probability of somebody actually fulfilling all of those prophecies with some ungodly amount of number, with too many zeros at the end. But there was one. His name was Jesus. And so the Apostle John here referred to Jesus as the true light. And Jesus referred to himself as, he said, I am the light of the world. And something interesting that I thought was interesting is all through the Word, so you see some of these prophecies that talk about the light, and the light will come to bring peace, the light will come to bring a new thing, the light will come, and Jesus talks about him being the light of the world, and John talks about him being the true light. And what do at Christmas? We hang lights. I thought that was really interesting. Why do we hang lights? I don't really know why Miss Joe Schmo over there hangs lights, but I know why I hang lights now, to represent the true light. If Jesus is the light of the world, then a representation of Christmas would be a light. Amen? So when you turn your lights on, or when you go home and you have lights on your tree and whatever, you can remember then. Let those lights be then not just fun and joy and but in remembrance that Christ is the true light. Amen? And in Scriptures we read in Isaiah that what we read in Isaiah is that there would be a time of great darkness, and that God promised to send a light that would shine on every living thing in the shadow of death. And then that person and that light would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And there was a message of hope. And that message of hope was fulfilled in the birth of Christ. Amen? That message of hope was fulfilled in the birth of Christ and the establishment then thereof of the eternal kingdom of God through Christ. The reason why he came was to deliver all those living in the shadow of death, to deliver those people from their slavery to sin. Amen? Now, if we turn to the book of John, it's in the New Testament, and I want to turn to chapter 1. And I'm going to read a story. John chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read all the way to verse 14. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Who are we talking about? Jesus. The Messiah. The Wonderful Counselor. The Prince of Peace. The Lord of Lords. The King of Kings. Back in Isaiah was a prophecy. Here, John's talking about the Word was alive before all things, and through the light that was created all things. So why did Jesus come? Well, look, to create light, to be a light. Amen? Verse 5 then says, the light shines in the darkness. Isaiah's prophecy says the same thing, to shine a light in the darkness, to get the people who are in the shadows out of the shadows. The only way you get out of a shadow is to get in the light. Amen? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never, say that, can never, can never extinguish it. In verse 6 it says, God sent a man by the name of John the Baptist to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who was the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Verse 10 says, he came into the world. He says, he came into the very world he created. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13 says, they are reborn, not of the physical birth resulting from a human passion or plan, but from a birth that comes from God. How many of us here say, I'm a child of God? I've been reborn. Say to your neighbor, I've been reborn. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 14 then says, so the Word became human and made his home amongst us. In some places, it says that John tells us that he became flesh. And then where he made his home, and some, it says, that's where he pitched his tent. I like that because that's closer to home for me. I can understand that a little better. Pitched the tent, that means he stayed there. He took enough time to make a tent, stick it in the ground, in my understanding, make it all nice and flat and comfy to stay there for a while because it was important. He didn't just stop by. He came and pitched a tent. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of his Father's one and only Son. See, John's gospel here roots Jesus' origins in the past, in what we would call eternity's past. As the Word was in the beginning. And he himself, we would say, as the agent of creation. According to John, in Jesus, God visited the world he made, but they didn't recognize him. His own creation didn't receive him. How tragic. It would be like you have a family member that, you know, you go see and, who are you? I don't know you. You're crazy. Get out of here. How tragic. Some people might say, how inexcusable. There's no excuse for that. My mom is going to come out and visit here after the new year. If she comes out here, and it would be exactly if I said, I don't know who you are. Some crazy lady. How sad is that story? Amongst all of the things that we understand God to be, we, his creation, didn't receive him. In his 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus trained 12 disciples and a few other people. to carry out his mission. And his mission was to take the gospel of salvation to everywhere, the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. Then he died on a cross. He died on a cross to pay for the sins of the very people that did not receive him. He died on the cross for the very sins for the people that didn't believe him. He died on that cross to pay for our sins and to reconcile us to God. Why did he come? We needed him to come. Our broken relationship is what made him come. Our messed up thinking, in our messed up thinking, God creates a way for a revelation. God creates a way for salvation. God creates a way for an open hand. In our problem, God is there when we need him. Amen? Amen? He, Jesus, was a gift. He was a gift. A gift that was given. Not something you paid for. He was given. It didn't cost you a dime. He was just given. We need to remember that. We need to understand that Jesus was the gift, the perfect gift that was given. Nothing was deserved. If anything was deserved, we could look at what happened when the Israelites deserved something. Not good things happened. You could think about the world when Noah happened. What happened to Noah? Noah was the only righteous man found, and therefore what happened to him? He was able to be saved, but the rest of the world, what happened? They drowned. Because they didn't receive what was been given to them. We've been given a gift. Nothing that we deserved, nothing that we warranted, but a gift from God that I had to, got to understand. It's a gift from God that what? That was given to you out of his love for you. Just out of his love for you. That's it. He said, I love you, I'm going to give you something. Anybody ever given a gift to somebody just because? Just because. Just because. I love you. Here's a gift for you. Not expecting anything in return. Just because I love you. And I'm gonna point at something here real quick to get us to understand the idea of Christmas. Christmas is a gift. What do we think about giving gifts and receiving gifts? The perfect gift was given to us without the thought or with the thought that you have two choices to make. I'm going to give you something. You got two choices to make. You can either receive it or you can throw it away. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Now, what on earth is a big gift? Somebody just shout it out. What's a big gift? Okay, a car. All right. Brand new 2018 car, leather interior, all the works, backup mirror. It parks for you. It talks to you. It drives for you. It calls people for you, whatever, right? It makes you coffee in the center console, whatever it is. All right? That's a huge gift. I kind of would like that gift, right? So let's say Pastor Calvin wanted to give you that gift. How many of you would take it? Why? But he understood that you could throw it away if you wanted to. How much love would that show for you? To have the understanding and the knowing that I'm going to give you something that is worth more than that car, but you can either receive it or you can throw it away. But I'm going to give it to you anyway because I love you. Wow. Wow. What a God. What a God. What a God. Turn to somebody and say, what a God I have. What a God I have that would give me something so valuable, even though he knows that I could say no. That's amazing to me. Something that we needed, something that we would like, and something that would last forever. See, the gift of Jesus is threefold, or fourfold, I should say, fourfold. The first thing about the gift of Jesus is that it was personal. John 3:16 tells you that. John 3:16 tells us what? For God so loved that he gave his one and only Son. Now, I want you to read this with the understanding that in that scripture, he tells us that not everybody is going to receive that gift. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only, one and only Son, so that everyone who believes, that also means that there's going to be people who do what? That will not believe. But he gave them anyway. So this was a personal gift. A personal gift to you, to me, that says, hey, I got something for you. I'm going to give you my Son. I'm going to give you everything about my Son, the Messiah, the Savior, the healer, the, what do we call him? We call him the healer, I'm blank. Throw him at me. Redeemer, the Counselor. All these things that we call him, he gave it to us. This is a personal gift because it's for everybody. And it's not just a random everybody gift. It's a personal gift to you. Why is it personal? Because you have to make the choice to receive it. God's love is not self-centered. It's about you. He loves you. He wants to give it to you. So what does he do? He sends Jesus. It reaches out. It draws people in. True love. True relationship. Freely given. For each one of us. In such a true and passionate way. All out. With no guarantee for him. Because we have a choice. He created us in such a way that we can choose whether or not we love God or not. But he chose to give you the gift anyway. That's a personal gift. That's a personal gift for you. The second thing the gift of Jesus was, it was a practical gift. Let's turn to Romans. Let's read about it in Romans. Romans chapter 3. I'm sure most of us have read this scripture or have heard this scripture or these scriptures before. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Now, what do I mean by a practical gift? If the issue is that we, in our thinking, in our living, do not meet a standard of God, that it says here that for everyone has sinned, therefore, because we have sinned, we don't meet the standard of God, which means that we fall short of God's glorious standard. So the practical thing is this. We can't get up to the standard. We're trying to, but we can't. So what does God do? He gives us a ladder so we can get up to the standard. Do you see? He gives us Jesus, which then makes a way to reach the standard. Amen? Very practical gift. Something that we needed. Amen? Something that we all need. Because we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God, so therefore we need a Savior. And Jesus was that, is that Savior. If we then read again in Romans chapter 6, the first part of verse 23 in chapter 6 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." So this first part says that the wages of sin is death. So you are free to choose between two masters. You either serve sin or you serve God. You're free to choose that, but the issue is this here, is that you are not free to adjust the consequences of your choices. You see, God set a standard. So God set a standard and says that we don't meet that standard because we are people with a choice. And sometimes we choose to sin. Therefore, we don't meet that standard. And if we choose to sin, the wages of sin is death. And that's a problem. We can't adjust that. We can't make God change his standard. God is God. But I like, you know, I don't know if you remember Pastor Eric, his dad, Jason, would always say, "But God." And I always liked that because he would say it so powerful and very loud into the mic, "But God." And I say that because the second part of chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." It says, but God sent you a free gift. You see, a free gift is eternal life through Jesus. Amen. Amen? Wow. You see, that's what we need to talk about. But God, see, eternal life is a free gift given. If it's a gift, it's not something that we earned, nor it's not something that we can pay paying back. It's just a gift. We either choose to accept that gift or reject it. In the same book, in Romans chapter 3, the next verse after what we read in verse 23 is verse 24. And this one says, "Yet God." It says, "Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that" who? "We are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus, when he freed us from the penalty of our sins, when he died on that cross." When Jesus died on that cross, and when he rose from the grave, that was the payment for the penalty of our sins. God sent Jesus to pay for the decisions that we make. to sin or to not sin. Jesus took the penalty. Jesus wasn't found guilty. If we read about Jesus, Jesus was sinless. God has then now not found us guilty. It says here, verse 24, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. Through Christ, through that Messiah, through that prophesied boy, through that boy in a manger, through that boy in swaddling cloths, through the Lamb of God, you, me, we have been declared righteous. Through Jesus Christ. The gift of Christ, freely given from God, was what we needed. It was practical. It was a practical gift. If you are a carpenter, a practical gift is a saw. If you are a mechanic, a practical gift is? If you are an artist, a practical gift is? If you are a sinner, a practical gift is a? Pardon, a savior. The Bible says we're all sinners. What does that mean? That means we all get the practical gift of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. God is good. Amen? The third thing that Jesus is. Let's turn to Psalms. Are you with me? Let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 107. And we're going to look at one verse. Then we're going to fly to the New Testament and look at another verse. Because this third thing we have to understand about the gift of Jesus is that, number one, it was personal. God loves you and gave him to you. And number two, it's practical. You needed it. We need it. We need it right now. We don't need it tomorrow. We don't need it in 2 weeks. I need Jesus right now. I needed him yesterday. Amen? I don't know about you and where you're at in life, but I need him now. He's that practical gift I just need. I need him. Amen? Amen. Psalms 107, verse 9 says this, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. You know what that tells me? That tells me that the gift of Jesus is a pleasing gift. Yeah. Amen? That tells me that the gift that God gave me, the gift that God gave you, was a pleasing gift, which means it made you smile. It made you, just like you give your kids or that person, you give that perfect gift, it makes them go, yes! Pleasing gift, right? It says there, 107, for he satisfies the thirsty. If I'm in need of something, I'm thirsty. It says here that he fills the hungry with good things. Amen? That's you. That's you. The hungry. James says a very similar thing. Let's turn to the book of James. If we look at James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 17. If the gift of Jesus was pleasing, gosh, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. who created all the lights in heaven. Jesus is the light. All that is good and pleasing and perfect comes to us from God. So what is the gift of Jesus? Pleasing. It's pleasing to my soul. If I'm lost, it will make me found. If I'm thirsty, it will not make me want drink. If I'm hungry, it will not make me want food, because it fills me, because it's pleasing. Amen? It's pleasing to me. It should be pleasing to you to know that God gave you a perfect gift, and that perfect gift is Jesus. Amen? Another place about how pleasing Jesus is that if you are exhausted, tired and weary, in the Word it says that, come to Him. He's there. So come to Him, all you weary and laden and tired and exhausted people, for He, who? Jesus will give you rest. Amen? That good and pleasing gift from heaven that James is talking about is Jesus. Jesus encompasses all of these things. We talk about it. He is our provider. He is our peace, right? He is our healer. He is our this and our that and all these different things. Who? Jesus. John called Him the Word. And the Word was God and was with God, who then created all things. So who is this Jesus? He is the creator of all things. If He is the creator of all things, James 1:7 says that He then gave us all good things. Good and perfect things come from heaven. Well, Jesus came from heaven. Amen? For what? For you. For me. The last thing, the fourth thing that the gift of Jesus is. Let's go to Hebrews. Look to your neighbor and ask him, are you there? You're there? Okay, Hebrews. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Hebrews. How's that go, Calvin? Hebrews coffee and Shebrews? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the fourth thing that the gift of God is... The second portion of that scripture says this, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. That means the fourth thing that Jesus is He's permanent. Oh, yes. He is permanent. He is forever. Wow. If we talk about Jesus as being the good and perfect gift in James chapter 1, right? That comes from heaven. If we talk about John and what John says about the Word, and the Word is God and was God and created all things, then that means that if Jesus was in heaven with God, and God is the Alpha and the Omega, that means He's the beginning and the, which means He is never ending, which means He's permanent all the time. That's why we say God is good and all the time. Because God is permanent. God will never fail you and He will never abandon you. That was part of His gift when He sent Jesus and said, I will never leave you. Wow. Wow. It's never going away. even when we go to eternity, he's not gone. He's there. Amen? Even when this world passes away or when this life passes away, he's there. Amen? He's never going away. You know, this perfect gift, we talked at the beginning of the message today was that perfect gift that we search for, we never find. Or we get that perfect gift. Yes, I got it. But in this world, in this life, sometimes those perfect gifts now fade. Sometimes that perfect gift I get now in 10 years is lost. In 5 years has faded, has broken, has rusted. But Jesus, the one true perfect gift, never fails. Amen? Never rusts, never breaks. Ooh, that'll preach. It never breaks. It never breaks. Never loses battery. Never loses a missing part that you just can't find because it's under the bed. Jesus never, never fails. Amen? Never fails. Never rusts. Never gets old. Amen? Always fresh, new, and always for you. And always wherever you're at, that's where he is. Always, that good and pleasing, perfect gift is always with you, by your side, wherever you are, wherever you go. Being personal, being practical, being pleasing, and never leaving. That's the gift that was given to you. That's the reason why we celebrate what we celebrate. Because it was that perfect gift that was given for me. Say that. Say, Jesus, I recognize that you were the perfect gift for me. Let's say that again. Jesus, I recognize that you are the perfect gift for me. Amen. Amen. That is Christmas. That is Christmas. The perfect gift. The gift that meets you where you are. The gift that gives you what you need. The gift that makes you full of joy. And the gift that never gets old. That's my Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Say it with some, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. When you're outside or at your work or wherever you go, is that what you do? That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Who? That's my Jesus. Who? That's my Jesus. Who? That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. God gave him as a gift to you. So why? So that we, now here's the real thing, so that we can share that gift. Amen? So that we can share that gift. Sometimes I've read this before in certain places that I've heard it a couple different ways, that we are so blessed so that we can be a blessing. I've heard it another way. Let's back up here. We are God's hands and feet, yes? So here's what I've heard about that. You and what you do are somebody else's miracle. The miracle of Jesus that was given to us was God's gift to us. Our gift to other people is to give them the love of Christ. And in that, Jesus is the miracle worker. Amen? If Jesus worked a miracle in your life through somebody else, I can tell you that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Nina bringing me here. Therefore, the hands and feet of God worked through Nina to bring me here. But God was the miracle worker. Amen? So what that means is that if Jesus is the miracle worker, and how many of us believe that Jesus is the gift that was given to us, then we can now then give that gift away through us, which means miracles can work again. Miracles can be done. Signs and miracles can be today. Amen? That was free. 2 Corinthians. The last scripture I want to read comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. It's a very short verse. And it sums up all that I believe God was asking in return. And God really wasn't asking too much in return. I don't think so. But I think this is a simple gesture for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thank you. Thank you. A simple gesture of thank God for this gift. Amen. Amen? Thank God for this gift, because it says, in all reality, when we try to explain what Jesus has done for your life, it might be too much for words to explain. Therefore, a simple thank you, God, is in order. That's it. Amen? That's all that needs to be said. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's say that. Thank you, God. And let's say it like we mean it. Thank you, God, for what he's done for my life. And thank you, God, for what he's done for your life. That's my Jesus, amen? Amen. That's your Jesus, amen? Gosh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's that perfect gift. That good and perfect gift given freely that we can just say, thank you. Thank you. That's my God. That is my God that gives freely. That's Christmas. That's Christmas time. Amen? Amen? That's Christmas time to fully understand the extent that was given to you. To me. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. Joyous gift. Why do we say joy to the world? Because God gave us everything we need. Everything we need to do what? To be with him. To be with him. And to be with him. He's the king. What comes with being in fellowship with the king? Every good and perfect gift comes from the king. Every good and perfect gift comes from the king. What does the king have? Everything. Every good and perfect gift that you need comes from the king. What do you need? Whatever it is, comes from the king. Amen? He wants you to have every good and pleasing, perfect gift that you need. Amen? 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 And that's what Christmas is about. It's about the love of God. It's about that perfect gift. That perfect gift. Why did he come? Why was he coming? Because he wanted to get personal. He wanted to get in your face. He wanted to get up in your business. Why? So he can give you what you needed. Why do you need what you need? Because you need it. It's simple. It's that simple. And when we realize and start to understand that God is a personal God, a relationship God, he's going to give you what you need. And it's going to be good. And it's going to be pleasing. And for you, it's going to be perfect, whatever God gives you. Amen? It's that perfect gift when given to us, there are no words except to say, thank you. And even in our worldly mindset, there are sometimes those gifts that we get from people that we just can't express the joy, the gratitude, and all we can say is thank you. And so when God gives us Jesus on this Christmas time that we celebrate, it's such a good and pleasing gift that all we need to say is thank you. Thank you, God. And receive it. And how do we receive something that we need and it's pleasing? We receive it with joy. We receive it with joy and gratitude and a happiness on the inside and a warmth on the inside that just makes us jump for joy. Why? Because it's good and it's pleasing and it's what we need. Amen? So this Christmas time, we got to understand, people, you've been given the perfect gift. It's a time for saying thank you. But thank you. Let's stand. In our search for the perfect gift this Christmas, whether it's been for the past 6 months or today, we should know that it is love. It is the love of God that surpasses all. It's the love of God that was given to you through Jesus Christ, his only Son. And that is what is so special about our God. That is what is so special about our God. He freely gave so that we can freely give. Amen. Amen. So this Christmas, let's not forget about the true meaning of Christmas, the true gift that was given to each one of us. His gift name was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Jesus. Let's raise our hands. Let's raise our hands to our Heavenly Father who has given us the gifts, given us the true gift. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Let's just repeat that. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is so good. So good. So good. And he loves you so much that he gave. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Isn't it a good feeling? Isn't it a pleasing feeling to know how much God loves you? to know that he's there for you. So he's never leaving you. And he gave so much for you just to be with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now don't forget, there's oranges out there. If you read the bulletin today, there's a special story about those oranges in there. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, before you leave, wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Hugs, kisses, whatever you want to. Share God's love the way he shared it to you. Amen? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We'll see you all next Sunday. We love you. God loves you. Merry Christmas.